Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody, whenever you're listening to me here. This is Lisa. You found me on Empower Radio, and thank you so much for choosing to be positive now. I decided that today we're going to talk about a topic that can either take you to the heights of the moon and beyond, or can bring you really low where you don't want to get out of bed. I'm talking about love. L-O-V-E, love. A topic in which I may need a little bit of help. Okay, not may. I do need help, and not a little bit, but a lot. So I go to the expert, Dr. Terry Orbach, who is the love doctor. Hello, Dr. Terry.
Hello, Lisa. How are you?
I'm doing fine. And, you know, before everybody thinks, well, who is this person and how do I know? The love doctor has been around, helped counsel for over 20 years. You've written books, a research scientist, a psychologist, a professor. So, see, we go to the creme de la creme when we're talking about love.
Absolutely, Lisa. I've been studying relationships, love, dating, marriage, divorce for over 22 years now. I've even been following the same couples since 1986 to try to figure out what keeps people together and what breaks people apart. And if you are apart, if love doesn't work, how do you get back out there and repartner, date again, and find that someone special again?
Okay, now you're singing my song. I am a divorced woman, and I have been for quite some time, but getting back out there, let's talk about that. Let's talk a little bit about the best way to find the one.
Well, first of all, Lisa, I have to tell you that it's not easy. Getting back out there is not easy, especially if you've been hurt, if there's been a betrayal, or you've done a lot of investment in this one person, this one relationship, and it just didn't work out. So the first thing I want to tell people is that it is difficult and it is challenging, and there are lots of obstacles as you get back out there. But the second thing also is that I don't think there is one person. I don't think there is a one person, Lisa, or a one love. I really feel that there are many people out there that are possible. It's just timing. It's just where you are in your life, where you're living, your friends, and what you're doing. And that's how you're going to meet that someone special. You notice that I turned it into meeting that someone special rather than meeting the one.
Do you think that puts a little too much pressure on people when they think, you know, oh my gosh, I have to find the one, a soulmate?
Right. I think it is a lot of pressure because sometimes it doesn't work out. Sometimes that person isn't, they don't want us, or it doesn't work with them. What I constantly tell people, Lisa, is that there's lots of possibilities, lots of people out there. And I think there are three really good ways to meet that someone special. First, what you want to try to do is join activities that meet regularly. And what do I mean by that? Yeah. I mean join religious groups, join athletic groups, take classes. If you're going to a coffee shop in the morning, Starbucks, Caribou, go there at the same time on the same kinds of days throughout the week. Because what we know is that there's a psychological principle out there called the law of attraction or the mere exposure effect. And what that means is that if you consistently see the same people again and again, it increases liking, not only for you to them, but them to you. So if you take a class or you go to the gym every Wednesday at 8 o'clock at night, you're going to see the same people there. And if you do it regularly, those people are going to start feeling comfortable with you and attracted to you, and you're going to feel the same back to them.
Okay, so somebody says, I go to the gym all the time, but people are there to just work out. Or I go to the coffee shop and, you know, well, that person's on their computer. I don't want to bother them. How do you approach that?
Well, I think first, Lisa, you want to give it some time. So I encourage people not to do it right away. But what you want to do is first get that person to notice you. So maybe on the second time you're at the gym, you see the same guy on the treadmill. Say hi. Give a little wave. Smile. You want to use your nonverbal language even more than your verbal language. So make sure you look at your body. And what you might notice is that oftentimes we're giving out cues using our body that we're not available, that we're not open. Make sure your hands are open. Make sure that you're standing straight, that you have good eye contact, that you have a smile, positive approach, and a good optimistic approach and a facial expression is so important, because all of those cues give someone the notion that we're available. We're noticing you. So that's the first thing I would do.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of times it does get frustrating for me as well as other people out there. And they say, well, I tried and it didn't work. And, oh, that's it. Now I'm writing off men. I'm writing off women. I'm writing off relationships. One of the things that bothers me about that is, you know, when you were learning to ride a bike as a kid, did you, the first time you fell, said, oh, well, that's it. I'm not riding the bike. You got back up. You tried again. How do we get people to get out of that negative mindset of, well, love just isn't here. Forget it. It doesn't exist for me.
Right, and I totally agree with you, Lisa. You gotta get back up and try again. I think we have to expect rejection, and that's something that we need to change our mind around to. We need to say to ourselves that it's not going to work out every time, that we are not gonna get along with everyone, that we're gonna like people that are not gonna like us back. And most importantly, I think what happens, Lisa, is that we are attracted to our opposite. We are attracted to people who are not like us. They sound, they look, they are exciting. But what happens is that opposites may attract. We may want that person who's adventurous because we're stable and we're secure. We want somebody who takes risks because we don't take those risks. But although opposites attract, they do not stay together over time. And so what you need to change your mind around to is that you want someone who is exactly you. You want someone who's similar to you in underlying values and attitudes and interests. You want someone who looks like you. And that's hard for people to acknowledge and be attracted to.
Yeah, I'd like him to be a little more masculine than me. So just, yeah, he can. But you know what? You do speak the truth, because the men notoriously that I've been attracted to are the ones who kind of are not like me. And there, it is almost like a drug. You get a little taste of it, and you're like, whoa, this is like a high. But the problem is when you keep taking the drug and then you come off the drug, there's withdrawal. There's major problems. So
absolutely, and that's why you and many women are attracted to the bad boys. Mm-hmm. You're stable. You're a high achiever. You do well at work. And so what happens is that you're attracted to people who are unstable and have those risks that you don't have in their lives. But again, women who are attracted to bad boys, those relationships do not last.
Mm. So we're talking to Dr. Terry Orbach, the love doctor. Do you believe in soulmates?
I actually believe that you can build someone or build a relationship, not build someone. I'm going to change that.
You can build... Really? Let me know where this place is where I can build him. I shall go.
Build a bear, build a man.
Build a husband. Oh, my gosh, that'd be perfect.
That would be. That's actually a great line. I like that. Anyway, I think you can build a relationship that feels like that person is your soulmate. But do we have someone out there who is the one, the only? I don't think so. I think what happens is that over time, a relationship gets close. It gets bonded. We lean on that person for support. That person is there to help us through good and bad times. And that is the person we go to when we want to tell somebody something that happens in our life. Mm-hmm. And it feels like our spirits, our souls are connected.
What do we do in the meantime? Because that's always the hard part, is people are always waiting around, waiting for the one to show up, waiting for all this to happen. And we have this sense of wanting. I think that puts us in the wrong vibe, because then we're wanting. We're not really living in the moment and allowing it to occur.
Absolutely, Lisa. I totally agree with you. I think you need to first work and be yourself. We know, studies show that when people are happy with themselves, when they're confident with themselves, when they've let go of the baggage from the past and they are present in the moment, that's when people actually have people attracted to them, and they are attracted to others. So when we're constantly wanting, when we're constantly trying to find that someone, when we're constantly worried that we might have to have someone in our lives, or that we should, and we have all these should statements connected to what we're doing in the moment, we aren't attractive to others, and we are not attracted to others. So let go of the past, the personal baggage, the emotional stuff that weights us down. I compare it to getting on an airplane, Lisa. Mm-hmm. You know, they won't let us bring on heavy bags. We have these requirements, so our bags have to be light. We have to be in the moment. When we're able to have light baggage, and again, everybody has baggage, personal baggage, mm-hmm. but we need to unpack some of it, and we're in the moment, and we like ourselves, and we're confident with ourselves, you'd be amazed at how many people approach you and want and are attracted to you. So that's the first really important thing. Work on yourself.
And here's,
like yourself.
I mean, a lot of people might be thinking, well, how do I do that? How do I let go? Here are a few things that help me, and you can tell me anything that's worked for you or that's worked for other couples. There is almost like an invisible sort of string that holds you to that person. And what you have to do is cut that string and let it go. Whether it's writing that person a letter that you never send, whether it is meditating, whether it is actually having, you know, setting it up where you have a string and you tie it to a doorknob and you hold it and you cut it, the actual physical thing of cutting some sort of string, praying on it, getting out and laughing, whatever it is that can help you to release yourself from this old relationship, that's how you move on. That's how you try and forget. I just the other day, I found an email in my old saved emails from a man who, you know, we're no longer together. That was 6 months ago. But when I read that email, it felt like it was yesterday. And I deleted that email immediately and went in my bedroom and cried.
Well, I think you bring up a lot of really great ways, Lisa, to let go of the past and move on. I encourage people all the time to write people letters, and don't send the letter to the person. Get all of those emotions out on a piece of paper or on a file or in a journal or through meditation, like you said, and then don't send the letter. Put it in a drawer or keep it on your email and then reread it till you're able to delete it, just like you did that.
Yeah.
I also encourage people to exercise. Exercise is a wonderful way to release anger, release negative emotions. Go out with friends and family members. Surround yourself with people that love and care about you and tell you that you're wonderful. And my favorite also, Lisa, is what we tend to do is blame ourselves for a relationship that didn't work out, or blame our partner for a relationship that didn't work out. What we want to do is blame. They're called interpersonal blame statements. You want to blame the relationship. They're called we statements. So we didn't get along. We weren't compatible. We had too many differences. Mm-hmm. When you're able to make those we statements about past relationships that did not work on, you're much more able to adjust and cope and move on from that relationship.
Wow, absolutely hit it on the head, hit it out of the park with all of that. So now that we have released our relationship, especially in this day and age, one of the number one things that people do to find someone is they go to their computer. What do you know about internet dating, and do you think it works?
Well, I am a huge proponent. I love internet dating. I think there's successful ways, these different dating sites out there are successful, practical ways to meet that someone special. Why do I think that, Lisa? Because it is so easy. You can do it at any time of the night or day. You can talk to more than one person, chat with more than one person online at a time. You can even sit in your bedroom in your pajamas and do it. People have total control. I think people who think that they are going to lose control or it's not safe, these are unfound myths that are out there. I am a relationship consultant, by the way, Lisa, mm-hmm. to a wonderful online dating site called SeniorPeopleMeet.com.
Oh,
and SeniorPeopleMeet.com is the number one dating site for people 50 and over. So People Media actually owns Senior People Meet.
Okay.
They have many, over 27 online dating sites. So if you are under 50, there are a variety of other online dating sites for you to use. And they're wonderful ways to meet that someone special. I have, in fact, several positive, easy tips to use for online daters as well.
Great. Hit me with them.
Okay, first.
I'm writing this down, by the way. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, say that again.
I said I'm writing this down, by the way, so go ahead.
Good, absolutely good. Well, first, just like we talked about, you want to make sure that you know not to take rejections personally. Because there are so many people on an online dating site, you're going to be speaking or chatting with several people. And what happens is that you're going to send these, you know, chat messages to several people at once. And people are not going to all say yes to you, that they want to chat back to you. And in fact, you might not hear from some of these people. It has nothing to do with you. Mm-hmm. People are busy. They have their own ideas of who they want to talk to and when. So don't take rejections personally. But at the same time, then, you can feel free to say no to anyone online. And if you don't want or you don't like a profile that you're reading, you don't feel the urge. You don't have to send them back a message. And that's actually empowering, because you don't have to feel like many women do, oh, I have to send a message to everyone
who
responds to me.
Mm-hmm.
So don't take rejections personally. At the same time, you don't have to respond to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Next, honesty is so very important, Lisa. Everyone may not be honest in their profile or their photo, but I strongly encourage everyone to do that themselves. So be sure you put down honest qualities in your profile and a recent profile at that.
No kidding.
Next, you want to make sure that you have a good your message or your name, whatever your name is, just like an email name or name. What's that called again?
It's a profile name. Like, for example, mine is sweetsounds555.
Oh,
so there we go.
That's a nice one. You see, that's nice. That's clean. Many people don't have clean messages.
Yeah.
They are sexual in nature. And what you want as both a man and a woman to have a clean, nice, a profile name that says something about you, because people really do read into these profile names.
Next, it helps that I talk for a living.
That studies show that relationships develop faster online. And I think people feel more comfortable to disclose more and reveal more about themselves. So I encourage people to take their time. You're going to think that you know this person better than you actually do. Intimacy is going to develop faster. I encourage people to wait at least a week of chatting online before they go to the telephone. And I encourage people to go from online to the phone before they meet face-to-face. Some people are great at writing online, and they're not as good talking on the phone.
That is so true.
And you want to read things into how people talk, their tone of voice, their pitch, the words that they use. And we can tell a lot about someone when you talk to someone online. I mean, on the phone. So a week online, then talk to them on the phone before you meet face-to-face.
I love all of those. And it is true. I've chatted with some people online, and then I get them on the phone, and I'm like, wow, it was like pulling teeth to have a conversation. Now, if that's the case, do I go ahead and judge on that, or should I set up a date after that to see how they are in person?
I would talk to them one more time on the phone because people might be nervous the first time they meet you, not on a phone.
Right.
They might be nervous. They might be shy. They might have had these high expectations so that they're so nervous when they get on the phone. So make another phone conversation before you meet face to face. People can be shy. They can be nervous. They might not know what to talk about. They might even know that you're going to be reading a lot into how and what they're saying. So I would encourage you, Lisa, to do another phone conversation before you meet face-to-face. But after that, if they're still, it's like pulling teeth, if they're not asking you questions, by the way, that's a huge tip for people on first dates, whether it's a phone first date or a face-to-face first date. Ask the person questions. What we tend to do is talk a lot about ourselves because we feel like we have to sell ourselves. But actually, people read a lot into what you ask them. So have a list of questions beforehand to ask them. And what you can ask is, what are your interests? You know, what do you like to do? What makes you laugh? You know, what do you regret doing in your life in the last year? Or where have you traveled to in the last year? Those are kinds of questions that people say, wow, that's an interesting question. I like this person.
And if you think you can't come up with something, here is one of the number one best first dates I ever had. There was a guy who looked at me and he said, do you want to play the alphabet game? And I said, what's the alphabet game? And he said, well, like, for example, we start with the letter A. You would say a word that starts with an A, and then I have to relate to it or tell a story around myself. And I said, okay, airplane. And he talked about the last time that he was on an airplane and what happened. And then you go on to the letter B, and he might say bakery. And then you talk about what your favorite cake is or something like that. And we went all the way through the alphabet. The conversation flowed with ease. We laughed trying to come up with something other than xylophone for X. And, you know,
that is great.
It was great fun. So if you think you can't come up with a question, try the alphabet game because it works.
That's a great suggestion because not only are you getting laughter into this first or second date, but you're getting all kinds of information from this person that you wouldn't ordinarily get if you just said, where do you work?
Right.
You know, where's your family from? Where'd you go to high school? That's a wonderful exercise. You need to market that one, Lisa.
I should. When he got to M, I thought, there's no way he's going to say it. And he said marriage. And I looked at him. I said, well, I tried it once. That was, and that created laughter, and we went from there. So we have released our old relationships. We have found new love. How do we keep love?
Oh, and that's a good question as well. My new book, it's called Five Simple Steps to Take Your Marriage from From Good to Great. It's published by Random House, and it's in bookstores these days.
Okay.
Really talks about maintaining love. And my main thing, Lisa, is that it doesn't take years of hard work. What we really need to do is sweat the small stuff in our relationships. And I know that's opposite to what we've been hearing out in the media, but it's what I have found in my research over 22 years. Well, it's not these couples, by the way, I've been following them for 22 years, and what I found is that it's not the big, challenging issues outside of relationships like job loss or money or if your parents' health is failing. It's really these seemingly, and I underline seemingly many times, Lisa, seemingly small little things in relationships that if they build up over time, that's what really tears apart the happiness and tears apart relationships over time. So what do I mean by a seemingly small little thing, or what do I mean by sweating the small stuff?
Like the toilet seat being left up, like that kind of stuff?
Yes, being considerate. If our partner says to us many times, it really makes me uncomfortable when you don't put the toilet seat down, or I really want you to listen to me about the problems that I'm having at work, or I'm not feeling good about how you're treating me in this relationship. Can we talk about ways that you might affirm me? Those are little things like he's not noticing me, she's not listening to me, I'm bored, we're not paying attention to each other, we're too busy with other things that are going on in our lives. Those are small things. You're just asking him to say, you know what, I need you to sit down and talk to me. Can you just listen to me for 5 minutes and then you can go back to work or your computer or the football game? Those are the things that if we don't do or we don't address, we don't pay attention to in our relationship, build up and eat away at the happiness in our relationships.
Yeah, because that high after marriage wears off.
It does. It does. Unfortunately, it's 18 months, by the way, in every relationship. And what a lot of people do, Lisa, is they think it has something to do with us or a partner or the relationship. And I constantly tell people, it's inevitably in all relationships, the passion, the excitement, that honeymoon aura wears off. And then you look at each other and say, who are you? What are we doing, right? And you need to build what I call companionate love. Passionate love, the excitement, that arousal-producing love wears off. And what we're left with is companionate love, the love of friendship and support and intimacy. And I say we're left with it, Lisa, but that is the love that keeps relationships together over the long haul. It's not passionate love. Passionate love can be reignited. We need to have it come back in our relationships, and it does take work to do that. But companionate love, that love of friendship and support, is what keeps people, what binds people together over the long haul.
Well, whether you are looking for love or you have love and maybe looking for ways to keep it and you're interested in finding out about the Love Doctor, Dr. Terry Orbach, you can go to Dr. Terry the Love Doctor. That's T-E-R-R-I, by the way, DrTerryTheLoveDoctor.com, and you can find out all about her new books, like Five Simple Steps to Take Your Marriage from Good to Great, seminars that you'll be doing, or, you know, what TV show you'll be on next or radio show. You are everywhere. God bless your husband, because I don't know how he sees you with how busy you are.
Thanks. Actually, he's very supportive.
Aw, see, you found the right guy.
I did, actually. I did. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And remember, that's DrTerryTheLoveDoctor.com. And if right now you don't have love in your life, it's time to just be okay with who you are and get out there and talk to people. And as Dr. Terry said, go find those people that do love you. Hang out with them. It's okay if you want to sit around and have people tell you how awesome you are to help bring you back to where you really need to be. Thank you so much for being with us. We really appreciate it.